to infinity. Stop it! He's had enough! It was Quiddenbach, pulling me away from Vadim. A couple of other passengers had arced over to the scene of violence, studying the work I had inflicted on Vadim with horrified fascination. His face was a single ugly bruise, his mouth weeping shiny scarlet seeds of blood. I must have looked about the same when the mendicants had finished with me. "You want me to be lenient with him?" I said.
"You've already gone beyond leniency," Quirrenbach said. "I don't think you need to kill him. What if he's telling the truth and he really does have friends?"
"He's nothing," I said. "He doesn't have any more influence than you or I. Even if he did, this is the Glitter Band we're headed to, not some lawless frontier settlement." Quirrenbach gave me the oddest of looks.
"You're serious, aren't you? You really think we're headed to the Glitter Band?"
"We're not."
"The Glitter Band doesn't exist," Quirrenbach said. "It hasn't existed for years. We're heading for something else entirely."
From out of the bruise which was Vadim's face came something unexpected, a gurgle which might have been him clearing his mouth of blood, or it might just have been a chuckle of vindication. Chapter 12. "What did you mean by that?"
"By what, Tenor?"
"That little throwaway remark about the Glitter Band not existing. Are you planning on just leaving it hanging there enigmatically?" Quirrenbach and I were working our way through the bowels of the Stromnikov to Vadim's hideaway, my progress made all the harder because I had my suitcase with me. We were alone. I'd locked Vadim in my quarters once he had revealed the location of his berth. I assumed that if we searched his quarters, we'd find whatever he had stolen from the other passengers. I had already helped myself to his coat, and had no immediate plans to return it to him.
"Let's just say there have been some changes, Tenor."
Quirrenbach was wiggling awkwardly behind me, like a dog chasing something down a hole.
"I didn't hear about anything."
"You wouldn't have. The changes happened recently, when you were on your way here. Occupational hazard of interstellar travel, I'm afraid."
"One of several," I said, thinking of my bruised face. "Well, what kind of changes?"
"Rather drastic ones, I'm afraid."
He paused, his breathing coming in hard, saw-like rasps.
"Look, I'm sorry to shatter all your perceptions in one go, but you'd better start dealing with the fact that Yellowstone isn't anything like the world it used to be. And that, Tenor, is something of an understatement."
I thought back to what Amelia had said about where I would find Rivage. "Is Chasm City still there?"
"Yes, yes. Nothing that drastic. It's still there, still inhabited, still reasonably prosperous by the standards of this system."
"A statement you're about to qualify, I suspect." I looked ahead and saw that the crawlway was widening out into a cylindrical corridor with oval doors spaced along one side. It was still dark and claustrophobic, the whole experience feeling unpleasantly familiar.
"Regrettably, yes," Quirrenbach said. "The city's become very different. It's almost unrecognizable. And I gather much the same goes for the Glitter Band. There used to be 10,000 habitats in it, thrown around Yellowstone-like. And here I'm going to indulge in some shameless mixing of metaphors, a garland of fabulously rare and artfully cut gems, each burning with its own hard radiance."
Quirrenbach stopped and wheezed for a moment before continuing.
"Now there are perhaps 100 or so which still hold enough pressure to support life. The rest are derelict, vacuum-filled husks, silent and dead as driftwood, attended by